And welcome back to Kingdom Assignments. It has been a while, but just have been praying about some of the redirection that God wanted to take me with this podcast, and really been doing some great studies and just really praying and thinking about where I would go next. And I feel like the Lord's finally really giving me some direction, actually, here in Australia for a few weeks. Just been really walking around, doing some praying, and I think it's going to be exciting what you're going to hear over the next few weeks and months. And also, I have a few guests who will also be joining me periodically. So, this is YNL and back with Kingdom Assignments. So, I want to talk to you today about ancient paths. Ancient paths. I know you probably think to yourself, what in the world is this about? But if you look in the scripture in Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16, and those of you who know me know that I normally would read from the Amplified Bible, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand by thy ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls." Now, when I began looking and really studying on this verse, I was thinking to myself and just asking myself the question, what did God mean when he said ancient paths? So I started to look it up. I did some reading in some different books. And first of all, there is a Hebrew word for ancient, which is olam, that's O-L-A-M. And some of the meanings of this Hebrew word would mean old or concealed, something hidden, timeless, way back from eternity. When you consider the words from eternity, it's thinking about the fact that God has given us a life that he wanted us to pattern after things in heaven. So all of the things that we experience here and on earth were really things that just shadow the things in heaven. But the thing I do want you to remember is God's ways are obviously heavenly, eternal, they're timeless. So he established his ways before we even arrived. And then when he created Adam and Eve, he created them in his own image and he established them within his ways, which were supernatural and timeless from eternity. So when you begin to think about these were the ways that they were to think, they were the ways to speak and behave and relate to one another. But then obviously man chose sin, which then began to depart us from those ways. And I'd be probably pretty true if I said that we probably don't even recognize what a lot of those ways are, and we wouldn't even been able to return to them even if we wanted to, because we don't know what they look like. However, we notice here when God speaks to the prophet Jeremiah, he said, ask for the ancient paths again. And he also tells us that they are the good way. Now, the Hebrew word for good, which is used in this passage, is the word tov, which is T-O-V. And some of the meanings for this word would mean that it's pleasant, it's agreeable, it's something that's happy and prosperous, cheerful, excellent. So these are just a few of the characteristics that would be the result if we were to walk in the ancient paths of God. Now, the scripture further on says, when you walk in these paths, you will find rest for your soul. You know, so many people today do not have, do not have much rest or peace. on the inside, and they find life to be a constant struggle. There's even some people even carry continual torment. But the important thing here is that God never really intended for us to live this way. This is not really walking in the ancient path that he intended. So just bearing in mind that when God did create man and he placed him on this earth, he did make him in his own image and he did program him with his ways. But of course, since that time, man has done nothing but come away farther and farther away from the original ways of God. And then after sin came into the world, man back in the day, I've often had this question for myself, man back in the day lived 900 years. Of course, by the time of Noah, this had decreased to around 600 years. And then when it came down to Moses, they only lived an approximate average span of 120 years. Today, they reckon the average lifespan is about 80. So you can see that the farther away that we get from the original ways of God, the shorter our lifespan has become, and also it has become more complicated. So I want to just show you something that, God originally established his ways in our culture so that they would be imparted naturally from one generation to the next. And I've studied lots of different cultures of the world around me, and I think that, you can see a significant deposit of his eternal ways virtually within the cultures. But when God's ways are established within any given culture, there's not really a need for a specific intellectual knowledge of these ways. However, when you eliminate God's ways from a given culture over the generations, then that people within that culture are going to do just as Hosea 4:6 says, which perish for a lack of such knowledge. In my North American culture, of course, I was born in Texas, but raised in Latin America. But in North America, lots of people have decided that they don't have to think, behave, they don't even have to do things that way, quote unquote, anymore. But we don't even really know what that way, quote unquote, is. But the Lord does admonish us that when we once again find God's ancient paths and we begin to line up our lives and families accordingly, we will begin to experience a supernatural touch and difference of God's power and life in our lives. The scripture also in Jeremiah 6:13 says, from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially by saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination that they had done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. This is scripture. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I will punish them, they shall be cast down. And then look at this scripture. This is 16. It says, stand by the ways and see and ask. Ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. I think this is such a powerful scripture as we start to see some insight here, because if we have not walked in God's ancient ways, there are many areas of our society, even in our personal and family lives, which become overwhelming because we're not following the real path that God laid out for us. Even such things as in spiritual, emotional, financial, family, health needs, everything every day tends to go unmet. And then as a result, you see here in verse 13, it says that we become very self-focused and greedy after that gain. So once our needs go unmet, we tend to become selfish and greedy. So it is impossible. You know, if a man is out in the middle of the ocean and he's drowning and he needs air, or if someone is starving and they need food, it's a bit impossible to just tell them, don't be greedy. But the scripture in verse 13 tells us that greed and deceit are bound to operate when crucial needs go unmet. I mean, I don't know about you. This is such an amazing scripture, and it's so interesting because verse 14 then says we are not helping people when we, the church, attempt to bring healing to the brokenness of people in a superficial way. You know, perhaps we thought that we were helping people when we just speak peace, peace. But if we never work on attempting to remove their guilt and pain without dealing with the root of their problems, we are not going to find resolve. Even way back from the 1990s, people were interested in instant solutions to their problems. I even thought myself, and I, in some of the reading I've done even says that, you know, it would even have been probably popular to have a drive-through church, you know, kind of like those who love going through drive-throughs, McDonald's, you know, you just roll up and get your healing or your salvation or your deliverance and you get it to go. You know, it's a thing that we've become an impatient society. But we don't want to deal with the root or the cause of the problems. All we want is we want instant pain alleviation. And as a result, then we go through life daily making choices that just eliminate the pain and the consequences of our last choice. But we rarely look far enough ahead to find the longer term consequences of the choices that we make. And, you know, I'm going to give you a saying here that's very interesting. Short-term fixes are always the seed of long-term destruction. And I'll give you a prime example, and then I'm going to wrap this session up and continue on the next one with the rest of this. So just imagine that you have a teenage girl. She's been very wounded because her father has alienated her and cut her off. She steps into spiritual protection, which God designed in the family for her safety. But then because she was deeply wounded by her father, she goes in search for love. Suppose she meets a young man who says that he loves her. But because of the hurt and the need that she has in her life, she allows herself to become sexually involved with him, which then results in an unwanted pregnancy. Unfortunately, now her second foolish short-term choice of sexual satisfaction has now resulted in another longer-term consequence. Now, because she's pressured by an unwanted pregnancy, she begins to make a third foolish short-term choice by deciding to abort the baby. This then results in a long-term consequence of untold guilt and shame because she took a life. The torment and hurt of this situation then resulted in another quest now that she's looking for comfort and love. Now she finds a romantic relationship and she enters into that. And again, she finds herself facing an unwanted pregnancy. However, she's still carrying the tormenting guilt and hurt from the previous abortion, so she chooses to have her baby, and she begins to pressure the father to marry her, and finally he does. Now, each choice that she has made is designed to attempt only to try to remove the pressure of the consequence of the last short-sighted choice. And after only a short time of being married, she then discovers that she's married a man full of anger and who is also very abusive. Then as a result, after a year, she chooses to divorce this husband, still carrying this tremendous hurt and pain from the rejection from all the way back from her father, and now the abortion, and now a second unwanted pregnancy, to the abuse of her now husband, and now she's in divorce, she once again sets out to find love and comfort. Now, you not only need to play out the rest of this, of what it continues to look like of broken relationships and devastating, painful events. And this is why verse 15 of Jeremiah 6 tells us that when we make short-sighted choices to attempt to bring peace without dealing with the roots of the former wrong choices, our hearts become hardened and we're not even convicted of wrongdoing. You see, Jeremiah says that when men do this, they don't even know how to blush. In other words, they don't even have shame about it anymore. Their hardening of heart becomes the very cause for their downfall and destruction. This is why I started out by saying in verse 16 of Jeremiah 6, he urges us to seek after and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. I hope you enjoyed this, and I'll continue on with this same subject in my next session and next podcast of Kingdom Assignments as we continue to look what are the ancient paths for our life. Have a great day.